I don't have any wise words this morning, so I am just going to open up with good morning. I am so happy to see y'all here. I will say this. I read the sign this morning. Y'all changed the sign recently, and it says, love God, love people. But it's hard to love people, and for some people it's hard to love God when we don't let God love us. Yeah. So here's the thing. Let God love you. He died on the cross for us because he loved us. And nobody else in this world is going to love you like that. So when you let God love you, you can love him and you can love others. So that's my wise word for this morning, for the week. It's something I have to think about. And so I'm going to start us off with prayer, and then we'll, you know, stand for worship or sit for worship, whatever you want to do. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you humbly and with the expectation. Lord, we know that you want to hear our voices raised to you. Lord, we raise our voices and we raise our hearts and our hands, Lord, as we surrender ourselves and this day to you. Heavenly Father, Lord, bring your spirit and walk among us. Lord, cover hearts, touch hearts. Let none of us leave here unchanged. Let everyone here who comes or hears us online feel the joy of your love. Yes. And Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for the privilege to be able to worship today corporately, together, and safely. And we just pray these things in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. feel like it. You've become my joy and song. Over every part of my life, you've become my joy and song. One more time, and you've become my joy and song. My soul's delight, and I am running, running after you. Here with you I find my life, and I am running, running after you. And you become my soul.
Leaving to you. Offer is this heart completely
Just a whisper, you breathe in me a new soul. You take me back, and I'll remember the joy of my first love. And praise will be my song. How can I contain it? I cannot contain this love. Praise will be my song. How can I contain it? I cannot contain this love. Oh. How can I? What we get is what you paid for. 'Cause through your death, our lives reborn. The joy of our salvation. And praise will be my song. How can I contain? Contain this love, and praise will be my song. How can I contain it? I cannot contain this love. Oh, praise will be my song. How can I contain it? I cannot contain.
Lord, we thank you for sending your son to die on the cross, God, so that we could have this relationship with you, God, that requires no translator. Lord, that we can come to you in the darkest of moments, in our worst of mistakes, Lord, and know that you're going to make us better. You're going to make us whole, God, with no judgment. Yes. You guys, I just want us to kind of think about that for a minute, you know, like we come to church and we celebrate and we sing these songs, but like, do we really think about the weight of the cost that he paid to send his son, his flesh and blood to the cross? to bring restoration to us who have fallen short over and over and over again and continue to, even after the gift. You know, there's nothing, not one thing that we can do extra to make him love us any more than he already does. I just want us to just think about that for a minute. The weight of his love for us, even when we sin our worst sins, even when we fall short. He already knew we were going to fall short. It says so in his word. But he made a way so that we could still continue relationship with him regardless. What a gift. And there's not anything that we can do to take it away, and not anything that we can do to receive any more of it. It's ours at its fullest. I don't know about you, but that just makes me so overwhelmed. You know, he loves us so much. So I just want to go back into this course, you guys, and just sing that with the weight of knowing, like, he loves you no matter what. There's not one thing that you can do more. And just give it your best. Like, give him all the zeal that you have in you right now to say, God, I love you and thank you so much for your sacrifice so that I can be with you without hesitation, without having to cleanse myself, without having to sacrifice all these animals, without a priest to say that I'm okay to go. Like, we get to just go and be before his glory in his throne room at any time. So yeah, let's sing that again.
Our hearts are yours, we want you.
all of this is for you. God, we come before you and we just say thank you, thank you, thank you for everything, God, for loving me, specifically, God, for loving us, even in our shortcomings. God, I'm just so thankful for you, and we just give you this service. We give you our hearts. We give you our stresses, Lord. We lay it down at your feet right now in the name of Jesus, and we just say, you have it, God. You have it, Lord, and that you would give us your thoughts about these situations, God, and that you would give us your thoughts about us, Lord. Yes, Father, I pray that you would just give us your heart for our city, God, for each other, for ourselves, Lord. Yes, we just give you, we give it all to you, Lord, every single part of us, the good, the bad, and the ugly, Lord, that you would take it, Lord, and I just ask for peace in exchange, your peace, God, your son, Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for loving us. Yes, we just give this time to you, Lord. This is all for you. That this would be a sweet incense to you, God. I just thank you for your presence, for dwelling with us, God, today, and being amongst us, Lord. Even when we don't feel you, Lord. Yes, we just love you. We 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 love you. Yes, and we give this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give it up for the worship team, guys. Yeah. What a beautiful day today is, right? Yeah. So before we get started, how about you guys take a few minutes and greet one another, get a cup of coffee if you haven't done so already. And yeah.
Check, check. Good morning, everyone. Are you an old lady? Okay, we are going to do our declarations for the Yakima Valley. Praise the Lord. You can go ahead and put it up there, buddy. All right, so if you guys would stand with me, go to that first slide, buddy. We're going to declare this over our city, over our valley in Jesus' name. Are you with me? Cool. Pastor Mike's with me. All right. On the count of three, let's do this together. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you for our city. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, Lord, what you continue to do. And Lord, I just pray right now that, I just pray, Lord, over every single person that calls the valley, Yakima Valley, their home, God. Lord, every person, Lord, that has moved here or was raised here, God, that you would just bless them and you would bless their household, God. I thank you, Lord, for the for our part that we get to play in bringing revival to our city. And I just thank you so much, Lord, that you're not done with our city. You have not forgotten our city. You have not forgotten this place, Lord. And that it, regardless of what the news says, regardless of what the police reports say, God, it is not too late for the Yakima Valley. And I thank you for all of this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen. Well, good morning. So, there's times in our lives when, and in our families' lives, when milestones are reached, like major milestones. And today we have someone here, her husband isn't here, but a milestone in your life today, right? Phyllis, would you come on up? Do you need a chair or can you stand for a few? You can stand. Okay, good. Well, her and Ken are celebrating 60 years of marriage. Yes. 60 years. That's a milestone. And the thing is it's also not just a milestone, but it's a testimony. It's a testimony to those that have seen their lives and that you can stay married, that you don't have to be separated, you don't have to be divorced, that even though there's struggles and there's trials, have you had struggles and trials?
A few,
yeah. Every marriage has struggles and trials. But they're still together, they're still loving each other, they're still there for each other, and we just wanted to honor you, but also your children wanted to honor you. And so they have gotten you some flowers. I don't know how much Ken's going to like those, but you know how it is.
He
does like flowers? Well, good. Awesome. Well, these are from all your kids, and we just want you to know that we, as your family here, your children, because you're still the oldest one here, but so I'm catching up with you, but that doesn't work because you keep getting older as I get older, so it's you're always going to be the senior here. So, Father, we want to bless Phyllis and Ken right now, Lord. We want to thank you for their lives. Thank you, Lord, that they are ones, Lord, that have shown, Lord, that commitment and love, Lord, is something, Lord, that can be accomplished, Lord, when you're in the center of it. And Father, we pray a blessing upon them, Lord. We pray that you continue to bless them in their finances, continue to bless them in their relationships. Father, continue to give them strength and health, Lord. You've done that so long, for so far, Lord. We pray that you continue to increase their strength, Lord. Your word says you're going to renew our strength like the eagles. And we just pray that right now over Ken and Phyllis. We thank you, Lord, for their lives. And we thank you, Lord, that they are celebrating, Lord, the 60 years today. And we thank you for their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Everyone said, amen. Yes. Praise the Lord.
Awesome. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, first announcement, October 30th. Is this next weekend? Wow. Next weekend is the chili cook-off. I don't know if I need to pass this around because I think pretty much, did you guys get this?
Yeah, I think you did.
Okay. So, if you haven't signed up for anything, we have chili entries here, and as well as salads or desserts if you want to bring something. And this is going to be... go. This is going to be a fun event. This is something that we used to do all the time, and I think Gaylene and Vicky are the reigning champs. I've been meaning to look at the trophy to see whose name's on there, but yeah. And so I need somebody to dethrone these women. And so we need a man on there is what we need. Yeah. Noah, are you going to make a chili? No, I want a winning chili, though. All right. Anyways, and so so chili cook-off, it's going to be a Sunday, October 30th at the downstairs, 5 to 7. Again, this is a fun event for the family. Also, we want you guys to invite your friends. We want you guys to invite your family, even if they don't bring anything. It's just going to be a great time, okay? So if you want to sign up for more stuff, we'll have this up here in the next slide. Is on the November 5th, we have a woman's luncheon. This is something that Nancy and Gayleen are putting on, and the women are going to meet here, noon to 2, right here in the overflow, and they're going to have a great time. There's going to be soup and food. A soup demonstration. I don't know. Gayleen should be the one announcing this. So, women, if you're a woman, you can come. If you're not, then don't come. And that's the announcement. And then the next one is the gathering. So I'm gonna talk about this real quick. And then we do. Do you have the music pause? Okay, we're good to go. Okay. So, Jesse, do you know what's happening? Oh, there's a video that's going to come up after this. Sorry. The Gathering 509, this has been a passion project that I've been a part of in the Yakima Valley. So I get to meet with other youth pastors weekly and connect and build connection with youth pastors. And we've done now 2 of these, and they're worship nights is what they are. And so we gather youth students and youth groups, and we just say, hey, we're going to get together and we're just going to worship Jesus. I don't care about your denomination. I don't care about how you worship. I don't care if you wear hats in church or not. I don't care. All I care about is, do you worship Jesus? And if so, we're going to come together. And so it's been really, really cool to see unity in the church. And we're not the only ones doing this. Pastor Sonny from Simply Jesus Church has been doing something as well, where he's gathering churches. And anyway, I just really believe that God is doing something in unifying the church in Yakima. Amen. And so, again, this is a promo slash highlight from our last one. And we're doing another one on November 5th, the same day as the women's event, but it's in the evening. And we're hosting it at Riverside Christian. And what's cool about this is that the last 2 have been in a church. And I really, really wanted to get it out of the church, because churches get intimidated really easily when you're coming to one church, because it feels like it's their thing. And that's not the heart of this thing. It's not about one church or one pastor or one ministry. It's just about one Jesus. And so I really, really pushed, let's have it in a neutral zone where people can come and they don't feel intimidated. They don't feel like, oh, are my kids going to like that church better or whatever, but just going to come and we're going to worship Jesus. And so I'm really, really excited. If you guys can just partner with us in prayer for this, we want as many students there as possible. We already have 5 youth groups that are committed to going, and we're, last time we got a lot more than we anticipated as well. So I'm just believing for great things. So without further ado, let's play that that highlight video.
It was as soon as I said, devil, you don't have a place in my day. Devil, you do not belong in my life. This is not how my day is going to go, because I believe in the victory of Jesus Christ.
So again, I just, I can talk about this all day, honestly, but I believe that God is doing something mighty in the young people. And if we can get a bunch of young people to sacrifice a Friday or Saturday night to come to church, I think something's happening. Amen. So just be praying. November 5th, that's in a few weeks. And we have a great team of a collective of churches. That last one, that's where you saw that footage from, that's at Living Faith Victory Center. That's where we hosted the last one. And just be praying, be lifting us up in prayer. Amen. This is the the third one. This is third. Yep. All right. Next slide is, oh, thank you for giving. I appreciate everyone who pours their finances into our ministry here at One Life Family Worship. And you can give online. You can give in our boxes. I think you guys know the drill. And I just really want to say that we appreciate all that you guys do for our church. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Am I missing anything? I feel like I'm forgetting something. You want to talk about that?
All right, so this Thursday, we're doing a corn maze with our youth. And so if you know of any youngins that will like to go for a thrill and just kind of hang out with us, it's our way to be able to just hang out with our kids. Like, we really love doing youth. And we just wanted to give them a fun event where we can hang out, get to know them a little bit better, and also bring them a little bit closer to Jesus through fear. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm kidding. But no, it's good. But I know it seems a little unorthodox as a youth to go to something like this. But really, you guys, it's amazing at what you see come out of these kids. Like, when they get into these positions and they go and hang out with us and just kind of get to know us as people and us to get to know them. Some of our biggest, burliest ones have fallen and come so humble and have been so childlike. It's been the best. And so it's one of our favorite events that we do because the kids really enjoy, they really engage with it, and we all have a lot of fun. So if you are, and or even if you're yourself, if you want to come and just kind of be part of it, speaking in the kids, if you have a love for kids, like youth aged, then please come and join us to have some s'mores.
Amen. I love that. You left something behind, my love. yes, we love these events, regardless if it's a corn maze, a youth trip, you know, there's just nothing like connecting with students outside of just doing fun stuff. All right. So I'm going to share a message today called The Great Mission, as you can see. And I'm going to talk about two different things here. We'll talk about a moment where Jesus was presented with this question, what is the greatest commandment, or the commandment in the law that is the greatest? And then we're going to talk about the Great Commission. And here's why. The last few weeks, Pastor Mike and Gaylene have been talking about love, grace, talking about these things that to some can be basic knowledge as a Christian. Yes, we should have love. Yes, we should have grace. And if you haven't heard those messages, I'd encourage you to go check them out online on the website or on YouTube, because they really did a good job of what it looks like to operate in love and in grace, and not only operate in it, but how to receive it. Because I think this is where we get hung up as believers. We get hung up as believers as we learn these things, but then we forget that we as well, not only do we need to be activated in these things, we also need to be able to receive these things. We also need to be people that can receive love and can receive grace. And this is where we get the orphan spirit, if you will. It's people who don't recognize themselves as sons and or daughters, is they operate then as an orphan. They operate as somebody who, I don't belong, or if you guys have ever heard a story about somebody who was adopted or went to the foster care system, you know, they operate in a certain way where, regardless of how loving the person is or the people is, they will reject it because they don't know what that kind of love looks like, right? They don't know, so Nancy and I, years ago, actually, we were just talking about her. We had a young girl. She was, I want to say she was 13 or 14, and she was a very troubled youth. And she wasn't one of our youth kids. We just knew her through some friends, and we didn't even know her. Sorry, we knew the friends, and the friends knew her, and they were like, "Hey, we know this great family that could probably help." That great family being Eric and Nancy. We had no idea what we were getting ourselves into. We're like, "Yeah, we'll help. We've worked with youth. Like, we'll hang out with her, all this stuff." Our first encounter with her was actually meeting her at a treatment center because she unfortunately tried to end her life. And so they sent her to this treatment center to get her healthy, to kind of get her some counseling to figure out. And the mom, unfortunately, was kind of at a space where she had, you know, she had other kids and was in a career. And not that she didn't love her, but, you know, as we know as parents, sometimes we just don't have the answer. And I get that. And so she just was looking for help. So she said, I'm looking at these youth pastors. My friend trusts them. So I'm gonna let my daughter hang out with these guys and even, you know, stay with these guys on occasion. And so we created a space for her, invited her into our home. And it was great. And I think for those couple months that we had this interaction with her, we did plant seeds, and they were really great. Also, because of the dysfunction in her life, she didn't know how to come into a home where we truly were going to love her. We weren't going to judge her. We weren't going to hold her past against her. We weren't going to do any of that. But because of her own dysfunction, because of this orphan spirit, she walked into a home where we talked about real things. We were really transparent. We really loved our kids. And she didn't know what to do with that. And so, unfortunately, there were times where she rejected that. And she loved us, but there were just times where you could tell she didn't know what to do with that. And so she would lie, or she would try to deceive us, or she would, you know, just do crazy things. And I say all that to say is that sometimes that's us. If we're not careful, we learn about this thing, love and grace and mercy and all this stuff, and we just think, yeah, that's really great things. But we forget that a key factor in this is that we have to receive it. We have to receive it. Like it's not just for those guys out there. That's for us. The love and the grace and the mercy, it's for us. So I'm going to start by reading this in Matthew 22, and this is in the Passion. And it says this. It says, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" And they're talking to Jesus. Jesus answered him, "Love the Lord your God with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, and with every thought that is within you. This is the great and supreme commandment, and the second is like it. In importance, you must love your friend in the same way you love yourself. Contained within these commandments, to love you will find all the meaning of the law and the prophets." Okay, and then the Great Commission, as it's called, in Matthew 28, it says this. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Without first fulfilling the greatest commandment, right, which we read, love God, love others, love your neighbor, without first fulfilling that, we won't be able to fulfill the Great Commission. Meaning, if we don't have love intact, if we don't have love in place in our heart, then making disciples of all nations is going to be really, really hard. Right. Really, really hard. If we don't know how to actually operate in love, with love, doing the Great Commission is going to be next to impossible. We can give people all the fancy words and all the fancy sermons and all the, you know, whatever. But if it's not done in love, which we'll read about a little bit later, then we're just like the word says, we're just like a sounding gong. We're just noise. There's many believers right now. They're trying their hardest to change the world and to change culture and to you know, change society and transform. And actually, their motives are pure. But if it's not done in love, I think we're just on an uphill battle for a very long time. So without first fulfilling the greatest commandment, which is love, we won't be able to fulfill the Great Commission. So the greatest commandment summed up, love. my first point is this: you are to be love because God is love. When you give your yes to God, you give your yes to operating like Him. When you said yes to God, when you said that prayer, when you said that salvation prayer, when whatever that looked like for you, you said yes to, now we're going to operate. I'm going to operate like you. It's much like when we take a job, except this is a really important job, but it's much like when we take a job, right? When I was in Portland, I worked at Amazon, and they gave me a uniform. They gave me a truck to drive. They told me what a route to go on. And literally, if you showed up without that uniform, just one day, just one little piece of uniform missing, go home. Just go home. Don't even work. Why? Because they want you to represent Amazon to the fullest. They want you to look like Amazon. They want you to be Amazon. They want the customers to know that when that truck is driving up, I know exactly what that is. I know exactly who that is. I know that I just ordered that yesterday, and I'm so amazed that it's here today, right? They want you to be. And that's the same. When we said yes to Jesus, we're saying yes to operating like Him. We're saying yes to operating in His love. And I know this is easier said than done, but let's read a couple verses about how God is love. 1 John 4:16 says, "So we have come to know and to believe that love, or the love that God has for us, God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him." It's pretty black and white, I believe, that if we are to operate like God, with God, then we're operating in love at all times. 1 John 4:8 says, "Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." Anyone who does not love. There are plenty of people that can quote this great book that we've decided to live our life by that don't know love. And that's a scary thing to me, because I think coming into the church, the culture, if you will, was very much like, just memorize scripture, get all this in you. And I think that you know, I memorized some great scriptures from that, and that was great. And I'm going to continue to memorize scripture. However, I fear that the emphasis gets put so much on, if you just get this in you, then you're okay. But that's just only half of the message. That's only half of the mission. Yes, we need to read our word. Yes, we need to get this inside of us. But if it's not producing love, change it up. Read a different translation. Listen to the word. I don't know. Do something else. Because if it's not producing love, then something's not okay. All right? There is no true definition of love without God. How do we truly love people? We see them how God sees them. We put the lens of Christ on, and we see them how God sees them. We don't define them by the past of what they've done to us or what they've done to other people, or maybe even what they're going to do. We put them on. Let's talk about. Can I get political just for a second? I'm just going to land there for a second. Okay, I don't care about politics necessarily, but let me just say this: when a president comes into office, they say, "These are the things I'm going to do." Right? Some of them we agree with, some of them we don't. We still need to see that man or woman one day as how Christ sees them. Plain and simple. Yeah. Does that say we agree with everything? Absolutely not. But this is where I think that society, Christian society in particular, has fallen short. Thank you, Pastor Mike. Has fallen short when it's come to the last few decades in politics, is that we like to say, this guy is sent from God, that guy is the devil. And we don't for a second actually lift him up in prayer. We don't actually put on the lens. How does Jesus see him? What does Jesus say about them? Like, wouldn't it be crazy if the church, the whole nation as the church actually prayed for our government and for our president? Like, I don't know. I feel like that would change something. I feel like that would transform something. If instead of us being so quick to, I'm going to protest everything that person's for, and I'm going to praise everything that this person's for. Let's just pray for them, right? It's okay for us to have our own opinions and to have which party, like all that. But I think the most important thing is how are we seeing these people? So off of that for ever. Okay. But how do we truly love people? We see them how God sees them. 1 Corinthians 13 in the Amplified says this: if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love for others growing out of God's love for me, then I have become only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, just an annoying distraction. I don't know about you guys. I don't want to be seen as somebody who's just an annoying distraction, somebody who's just making noise, right? And how do I avoid that? I operate out of love. If you're operating outside of love, then quite frankly, how I read the Eric Lopez translation, the ELT, if you will, if you're operating outside of love, then you're just being annoying. If you're operating out of love, then how is that going to solve anything? How is that going to, have you guys ever been nagged to the point where your life is transformed? I don't think so. I don't think that's a good strategy, right? To just nag, and oh, wow, now I see your point. No, I might just do whatever you want me to do so I could stop hearing you talk and then just go back to doing what I was doing, right? And so the world does not care how much you know about God or how much God you know. The world needs to see the love of God operating in and through you. This is where I think, again, we fall short a little bit as believers, because the only strategy that I've seen, or one of the only strategies I've seen as believers is, oh, let's just go preach the gospel to them. Let's just go read scripture to them. Can I let you guys in on a little bit of insight? The world does not care what the Word of God says. The world could care less about what your Bible says about the Jesus that you believe in is doing or has done. They don't care. So how do we be effective? We show them the love of God. Because nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. We show them the love of God through our actions, through our speaking, through how we treat them, how we are. You know, outside of these four walls, as well as how we are inside of these four walls, how we are outside of social media, as well as how we are inside of social media. Like, this is what I believe is going to be a good strategy for believers moving forward. Do we give them the word? Absolutely. But I believe that God knows the timing for that person to when they need to hear the word. Like, God knows the timing of when that person needs to be, those seeds to be planted. So my second point is this. You are sent today, tomorrow, and the next. You are sent today, tomorrow, and the next. If you're sitting there questioning, well, is this, are you talking to me? Is this for me? Am I supposed to be the one going out in love? Yes. Yes. The simple answer is yes. Each and every one of us. This is our mandate. Is when Jesus said this in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He's talking to you and I as well. So you are sent today, tomorrow, and the next. Matthew 9 says this: when he saw the crowds, he being Jesus, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. As soon as you wake up in the morning, you're sent. Just know that. As soon as you open your eyes for the day, you're on mission. Whose life are you going to touch? Whose life are you going to help move along? Who are you going to give the love of God to? Changing the world is the church's job. You are the church. When I say the church, I'm not talking about One Life Family Worship or Stone Church or Living Faith Victory Center or Breakthrough or whatever. I'm talking about the church. Like, we as the body, like, this is our mandate that we go and we change the world. And I know it's a big ask, but that good thing we have a big God, right? So changing the world is the church's job. I've had a few different jobs over my course of life. One particular that comes to mind is I worked at a motel, not a hotel, a motel. Okay, there's a difference, and some of you guys know the difference. Motel 8, okay? A Super 8. And I met some pretty interesting characters while I worked there, to say the least. But I had a few really cool experiences that my heart has always been, I want to be in the church. I want to work in the church. I want to preach. I want to do all these things, which isn't bad necessarily. However, I found myself in positions where I was being activated in ministry when I wasn't in the church, when I was just being the church. And it caught me off guard. It was weird to me. I'm standing there behind the front desk of a Super 8, just living my life, you know, ready to clock off, ready to go home. And there was these, I worked a couple different shifts, but one of the shifts I worked mainly was the morning shift. I'd come in at 6 in the morning, and I would get all the cleaning ladies' schedules set to go where they're going, their assignments for the day. And there was one gal, I don't recall her name, but she was in charge of washing all the linens and washing the towels and all that stuff. And one day I don't remember what I had to write, but I had to write something for her, and I'd have to leave it in the laundry area. And one day, I just, at the end of what I was writing, the task I was writing, I wrote, "And Jesus loves you." And that's all I wrote. And I left it in there. I didn't think twice about it. I was like, cool, I'm just being, you know, a loving Christian at this moment. And she comes to me later that day, and I completely forgot about it. And she said, "I just wanted to tell you thank you." And I don't even remember. It was such a throwaway thought. And she tells me, you know, "I saw the note you wrote, and I just wanted you to know I really needed to hear that." And it wasn't this crazy, you know, supernatural moment per se. It wasn't like a dove came out of her head when she said that or anything like that. But nonetheless, it was a reminder of, oh, I am the church. I don't know that lady's life. I don't know her church experience, her Christian experience. I don't know any of that. But in that moment, I got to operate as the church. Okay. There was another gentleman that worked there as well. He was our maintenance guy, and he would come in and he would ask me to pray for him all the time. And actually, he would challenge me. Talk about being the church. I'm over here. I want to preach. I want to preach the gospel. He would come in, and every single day he would say, "What's the good word?" So I had to, on the spot, and I would forget. I don't know why I forget. Sometimes I wouldn't, but I'd have to come up with a little quote. It could be from scripture. It could be something I heard, something I read, but he just knew that there was something that, like, he needed to hear. And so I would just give him something, like, you know, something simple. I can't even think of any at the top of my head, but I would just give him something. And those were encouraging moments for him. I had moments where I had a guest at one time, and I know now this is getting a little bit out of everybody's comfort zone, including my own, but I had a guest that he came and he was, I think he was checking out, and I saw him limping. So I just took a risk and I said, "Hey, can I pray for your leg? What's going on with your leg?" And he started to tell me about his leg. And I said, "Great. Like, I just want to pray for you right now. Like, right now. Like, not I'm going to pray for you later. Not I'm going to put you on the prayer chain. Not I'm going to, you know, go to my pastor and give the man of God the word. But no, I'm going to pray for you right now." And we saw that man's leg healed. Like, just me and him. Nobody else was around. Just me and him. But I got to operate as the church in that moment. And this, again, this is another extreme example, and I'm not giving these examples as like, you have to go do that, but I want us to understand that as faith, when we operate in faith, it looks like risk. Like, that's what faith is. Faith is taking the step, not knowing what the step is or where the step is or how big or small the step is, but just taking the step. And I met another gal while I worked at Super 8. And she said, you know, she was a single mom. She had a little girl that was Skylie's age at the time. And she said, you know, I came over here by faith, much like how Nancy and I did. I came over here by faith. And, you know, we've been staying in the hotel for the last week, just believing God was going to do something in our time here. And we have to go back because we don't have any other options. And I just felt that stirring. I didn't know what was happening, but I felt the Holy Spirit stirring something, and I couldn't ignore it. So I called Nancy, and I said, hey, I just met this gal. She has a little girl. I think we should have him live with us for a little bit. And that's crazy. Like, that's crazy. It's crazy for me to want that, too. Yes, that's true. I like my space. And so we invited that gal and her daughter to live with us, and they stayed with us for, I want to say, 2 or 3 months. But my point in saying all that is I got to be the church. Like, I wasn't like going to a church building and saying, hey, figure this out for this lady, she needs help. Or hey, this man needs prayer. Or hey, this laundry lady, she needs encouraging, go do it. No, I got to be the church. Right? We get to be the church wherever we go, every single day. When you wake up, you are on assignment. We are light. We are the light. Matthew 5, 14 says this. It says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You guys, light doesn't run from darkness. It's actually the other way around. Light doesn't cower from darkness. It's the other way around. And so you may be thinking, I have a situation, or I know these people, or I know where there's just immense darkness. Here's your solution. Go be light in that place. Oh, my workplace, it's so toxic, and people gossip, and people cuss, and people do this and that, and all this, whatever. Go be light in that place. Like, you have an opportunity to be light in that place wherever you are. And it doesn't have, you don't have to be a blinding light. You don't have to be a light where people are like, whoa, super Christian over here. But you just need to be a light. Darkness runs from light. Amen? My final point is this. You carry something that is everlasting. You carry something. Again, as the second you said yes to God, the second you let those words leave your mouth, that you're professing your faith in our Jesus, you then became a carrier of something that's everlasting, and that's God's love. What is everlasting? Something that never goes away. Something that stays constant. Something that is never changing. Culture is going to change. Society is going to change. Church culture is going to change. God's never going to change. And the love of God is never going to change. We get to carry that. So I want to read this story, and then I want to pray. This is Luke 8. And it says this. It says, they sailed to the region of, how do I say that, Pastor? Yeah. That place. Gadarenes? Oh, garrisons. I believe you. Garrisons. The region of the garrisons, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." Let's pause there for a second. How in the world does this crazy naked man recognize who Jesus is? Is it by chance he saw the light in him? Is it by chance that this man who was so far gone and so crazy that he was running around naked, not sleeping in a house, sleeping in a tomb like an animal, he was so far gone, but he could still see Jesus. He could still see who Jesus was. I beg you, don't torture me. Verse 29. For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of this man, of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. So what happens here next is, and we're gonna skip down to verse 34. But what happens here is Jesus then sees a herd of pigs, and he casts the demons in the herd of pigs, and the herd of pigs, they go off a pit and they all die, a cliff, and they all die. And so verse 34, it says, when those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. So, again, let's paint this picture. Not too graphic. Blur it in your mind. He's naked, okay? He's crazy. He lives in a tomb. One encounter with Jesus, he is now of sound mind and he is dressed. What happens when we operate as a church? People get transformed. People get radically transformed when we operate as a church. Again, not the church building. Do we need to invite people? Should we invite people? Absolutely. That's a good thing to do. Good thing to do. Okay? Do I want to see this church and every church in our city filled to the brim? Absolutely. What I want to see more than that, though, is the church of Yakima, is the church of our nation, to operate as the church. That's what I want to see. I want to see Christians in high places that can make moves in government, that can make moves in the school system, that can make moves into the police department, be the church in that place. And for them to stop waiting for the church building to go and do the things. That's what I want to see. Again, crazy naked man gets an encounter with Jesus. From that one encounter, he is transformed. His life is changed. Okay, from the inside out, literally from the inside out. And you may think, I'm not Jesus though. When you said yes to Jesus, something was placed inside of you, and something that's everlasting, the love of God. So you get to operate like Jesus. You're co-heirs with Christ. You get to link arms with him and say, hey, we're going to go do this. We're going to go see my workplace transform. We're going to go see my family that's really dysfunctional transform. We're going to go see that marriage transform. We're going to go see my city transform. How? We're going to be the church. And I'm going to link arms with Jesus and do it. Amen? So, continuing to read, it says, dressed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Verse 36, those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. This guy has come so far in one story. I don't know how long this encounter was. I don't know if this is just in a few minutes, a few hours, a few days. I don't know. We don't get the timeline necessarily. But what I do know is in a short period of time, we have this man who is so far gone. Now, this is an extreme example, but I just want you guys to place your situation, your circumstance, your workplace, your husband, your wife, your kids in this place. Okay, in this crazy scenario, he's naked, he's living like an animal, he's demon-possessed, and from one encounter with Jesus, he's transformed. And not only does he get transformed, he goes and tells the town all over what God has done for him. So what does it look like as we fulfill the Great Commission as believers? What is the fruit of that? People begin talking. People begin talking, I encountered somebody and they prayed for me. I encountered somebody and they showed me love like nobody's shown me love. Oh, really? I want to meet that person. Or Can you show me that same love? And what happens? It becomes infectious. This is what revival looks like. I've said it many a times before. Big rooms are great. Big rooms full of people are amazing. I think what's more amazing than that is big God in people, period. Big God in people, in you and I, operating like Jesus, operating in these places where we go, being the light in these dark places. The Great Commission will not be accomplished if we first don't activate the greatest commandments, which is what? Love. So we want to go and we want to make disciples of all nations. And maybe some of you don't. Maybe some in your mind, you're like, I don't really care about that. I would encourage you to start caring, because this is why we're here. This is why we're this is why we're doing what we're doing. This is why we read this word. This is why we say yes to Jesus, is because it's not just for us. It's for us. It's for everybody. It's for our city. It's for your family. It's for your marriage. It's for everyone. So I want to pray. And this is and this is going to be my prayer. And so, and if you want to receive this, I want you to receive it with all of your heart. My prayer is going to be that we would, as the body of Christ, begin to operate like the body of Christ, would begin to operate as that light. And that and here's the cool thing, is that when we begin praying for these things, don't be surprised when you have opportunity to be light. Don't be surprised when you're like, whoa, I don't know why all these situations are coming my way. Well, it's because we just prayed that you would be light, and now darkness is coming at you so you could be light. So Jesus, I thank you for who you are. And I just pray for every person in this place that wants to truly make disciples in all nations, to make disciples in Yakima, make disciples in the lower valley and in the upper valley and West Valley and Natchez and all the places in between, God, that wants to make disciples in our lifetime, in our workplaces, God, in our schools, in our friend groups, God. I just pray right now that you would give us opportunity to be light wherever we go. Jesus, I thank you that we don't have to have all the answers, that we don't have to have all the words, we don't have to have all of the eloquent sentences and memorized verses to be light, God. Lord, that we need to operate out of your love, God. And I just pray right now, God, right now, that your love, the love of God that is everlasting, that is never changing, would just invade our hearts right now. Every situation, every circumstance, every person we come across, God, that we would be that change. We would be that transformation. We would be fulfillers of the Great Commission by fulfilling the greatest commandments. God, I thank you so much, Lord, that you are love, God, and that you have given us something that is everlasting. So, Lord, I pray for this work week. I pray for the school week. I pray, God, that all the places that we're going to find ourselves, Lord, that we're going to begin to hear testimonies, Lord, of what your body is doing out there. And not just from this church body, Lord, but from every church body in the city, God. I thank you so much, Jesus, that you're with us, that you give us the strength, you give us the mercy, you give us the know-how, God, the strategy, heavenly strategy. Yeah. Yeah, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I want to pray for one more thing. If I felt earlier, and it just came back to my mind, anybody that has been dealing, not necessarily right now, but if you are right now, that's fine too. But anyone who's been dealing with it's either like headaches, migraines, or back pain. Is there anybody in here that's been dealing with those type of things? Headaches, migraines, back pain. Nancy Pants? Okay. Okay. You too? Don't be shy about it. This is why we're here. Again, we're not playing church. We're here to do church, right? Be church. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to, we're going to pray for these ladies. If you guys can come up, Jesse, you can put on some music, and the rest of you healed folk can go home. Love you guys. Yeah.
I just stand in awe of you.